Yes, indeed, Wordplay Official there on the introduction on this Tuesday, October 17th. Welcome in to the Lowdown. We thank you so much for being with us and spending a part of your day right here. And what a fantastic day it is. The start of the NBA season is tonight. Lots of Warriors fans listening, lots of just basketball fans listening. I know Kings fans will be significantly more excited at this time tomorrow. But we got two games that we can enjoy tonight. We will talk a lot of NBA. All rise. Your New York Yankees are back in the series. They win at home. We'll talk about that. There was football last night. We welcome everyone listening across the country on the radio.com app, on khdk.com, on the TuneIn app, wherever you are. We greatly appreciate it. It is Tuesday for those who may be listening to us on like Wednesday or Thursday through the podcast. All of this content you're about to listen to is a little bit dated, but we thank you for downloading us. We greatly appreciate it. You can too, the iTunes store, whatever your favorite podcast platform is. We welcome those in Northern California here, all the way up to the Bay Area. You got, hey, we're the home of the Sacramento Kings. But this station goes a long, long way, and I know that there are Warrior fans pumped to get their rings tonight as the Rockets come to town. The new-look Rockets, by the way, I think you have to – there's a lot of new-look teams.
Yes.
Rockets.
Yep.
Clippers. I want to give credit. I think it was Zach Lowe, but I love the nickname OK3. I love it.
I can't believe I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, OK3. Love it.
That's good.
The Thunder, new look Thunder. Then you got new looks going in the wrong direction. You got the new look Bulls, who might be the worst team in the league. They're going to be competing with the Atlanta Hawks as the worst team.
Hawks.
Holy crap.
Bad look Hawks.
But when you start reeling off the worst teams in the league, the top three right now that come to mind are all out east.
Sadly, yeah.
Orlando's the other one. I think Phoenix is probably going to be in the conversation. Yeah.
Let's keep the Kings out of it, let's hope.
I don't think the Kings are in that conversation as the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
Hot take, and we're going to have this show right here is going to be full of hot takes. We're going to have predictions. We're going to have crazy predictions, logical predictions. One of, I think, the most difficult things that we're going to try to do, I feel like we couldn't have done it last year because DeMarcus was still here. I think we did this when DeMarcus left. Who's going to lead the Kings in scoring? Did we do that? Was that a thing? Wasn't that like a regular conversation? Who do you think is going to lead the Kings in scoring tonight when DeMarcus left?
I think we were trying to figure that out. Because sure.
That's going to be a conversation for later.
Absolutely.
Who do you think leads the Sacramento Kings in scoring this year? Speaking of the Sacramento Kings, your boy, our boy, Garrett Temple will be with us today. We had him on at Media Day. Invited, say, hey, GT, let's make this a weekly thing. He was down. So today will be the first of our weekly visits with Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. He joins us today at 2:45. We'll have our winners and losers of week 6 of the NFL season. We'll take a quick look ahead at week 7, which starts with two teams needing to get back on track. One of them desperately needing to get back on track. That is your Oakland Raiders. There's some very good news for everybody involved coming out of the NFL meetings. There's some very bad news for Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, Jerry Jones was too much of a coward to show up at the NFL meetings that had the players involved in it. But there is a second meeting going on in New York today with the owners only, but some very positive stuff coming out of there. Man, where should we start? Let's start with the NBA.
Okay.
Cavs and Celtics tonight. Just luck of the scheduling. Kyrie.
Yeah, wink, wink.
Kyrie comes home.
The kid, you mean?
The kid, I apologize. Yeah. Yes, the kid. LeBron, I love this. This makes me so happy. Because this, I feel like, is the most passive-aggressive move in LeBron James history. LeBron
this is, one is?
This is.
Over all the others?
All of the other ones. Okay. LeBron is a game-time decision.
Of course he is.
It's almost like this game isn't even important enough for me.
Yeah.
Like, I know TNT is. I know TNT.
Game one rest.
Long summer, man. Yeah. I know TNT is looking forward to it. I know fans are looking forward
to
it. I know the kid wants his revenge.
Yeah.
Well, man, I'm not sure if I'm ready. We'll let you know.
He, not LeBron. I'm talking about the kid, Kyrie Irving. there is no doubt in your mind, right, that he's getting booed tonight.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Like,
absolutely.
It's going to be pretty vicious.
He wanted out.
He wanted out, and that's fine. That happened. It's not. He's not the first nor the last. But he doubled down when he's like, Boston, this city's alive.
That's
he didn't rip Cleveland. He praised Boston. And I just think, either way, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I heard what I wanted to hear, and it's you wanted out. We had a great team. You were a good part of it. We liked you. Now we don't so much. So your first game back, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, but no thanks.
And LeBron took great joy last night during his little cutesy interview with Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not going to get the treatment I got. No one will ever get the treatment that I got. And I actually tend to agree with LeBron.
That was pretty unique.
That will never, ever, ever happen again.
Yeah.
I don't think. I can't envision a scenario right now with it. Unless Steph Curry just goes, man, I'm out. And goes to, I don't know.
Even think of a scenario.
Sacramento. Like, I have no idea. Like, I can't. But in terms of a player to a team, and maybe Golden State wouldn't care because maybe they'd be like, man, we got Kevin Durant. It's not like our team is going to hell.
Yeah.
We could still win if he left. Whereas LeBron leaves Cleveland and they go from 60-plus wins, three or four straight seasons, to
in the 20s and teens, right?
20 consistently, and three number one picks in the 4 years that you're gone.
Yeah.
One of them, the kid that was just traded to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. But what a matchup to start, because most people think, I mean, honestly, is tonight, we already think there's a collision between the Cavs and the Warriors. Whether or not that happens, you know, we got a whole season to decide that. But is tonight the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Is that a hot take?
Is it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Well, I don't think it's a
– I bet most people have them 1-2, 1-2.
Could it be? Sure.
Or 1-3?
I mean, that was part of the discussion for later, but I'll say no. Yeah. This is not a preview of the two conference finals tonight.
Okay.
Impromptu poll question.
On both sides?
Nope. There's one team on each side that I don't have in the conference finals, and I think that you could guess who I'm inserting into each slot.
Okay.
It's not going to be that difficult.
Okay.
Because remember, Jordan said there's 28 garbage teams. Well, mm-hmm. I disagree. There's two super teams. There's
about
five or six
other good ones.
Really, really good teams. And then the rest, you could do whatever you want. You could call them whatever you want after that. I don't know that you would call them garbage.
But you have one of those other teams in there.
I do.
Okay, or two of them.
I have one in the East and one in the West. I read the story on ESPN today about how Chris Paul, you talk about doubling down. Chris Paul, in that interview, it's not an interview, in that conversation that ESPN is airing with Jay-Z, and the article that is up on ESPN.com right now that's in ESPN, the magazine, regarding how, you know, the whole coming to the Rockets thing happened. He didn't paint a picture. He didn't paint a very good picture of the Clippers. And I think more specifically, he didn't paint a very nice picture of Doc Rivers either.
Yeah.
It was more of, you know, he kind of used the line that's getting a lot of run is, if you're not trying to compete with the Warriors, man, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, obviously Oklahoma City feels that way. Houston came up short. There was one more player that they desperately wanted. Somehow, to everyone's shock, that guy wound up in Oklahoma City. But
which probably made this better.
Sure.
Like, if Carmelo went to the Rockets, like we thought, or was – they would be interesting still. But mm-hmm. they're still interesting. But now OKC's really interesting to me.
Well, they would have – what would have just – what would they have had to give up, right?
Everybody was saying Ryan Anderson. Mm-hmm. And some – that's what they were trying to – move because of costs and salary, but I don't think the Knicks were biting on that. And then was there anyone else and what else? And so, yeah, they couldn't get there.
So there's just, you know, there's the two teams tonight that everyone expects to be in the finals. If I told you right now you could have Cavs versus Warriors before the season starts, you have to answer now. You can have Cavs versus the Warriors or any other combination, a realistic combination. Mm-hmm. For the NBA Finals, would you take Cavs Warriors 4?
I would.
Because you believe they're the two best teams in the league.
I do. I was thoroughly entertained the last couple of years. I mean, I think the 2 years ago final was classic. Last year there were good games. Warriors won it more convincingly 4-1. But I still remember we were kind of down on the playoffs a year ago, just the way they played out. And the first quarter of game one of the NBA Finals, I don't know why it sticks out to me, but just that 12 minutes, I went, okay. This is going to be
here. We go.
Great. This was high level basketball. It was thoroughly entertaining. You're looking at matchups. You went, yeah. I mean, this is the best of the best. So if that happens again, I would sign up for that today.
So we have the two teams that we expect to be in the NBA Finals for the fourth straight year.
That's crazy.
And we also have two teams that I think basketball fans in general are very, very curious about. The Celtics, you know, I mentioned, hey, we got the new look Rockets. We got the new look Clippers. Oh, by the way, this is a new look Celtics team. Their leading scorer slash MVP candidate no longer plays for them. Now, he's not going to be he's not going to be able to suit up for the team that he plays for tonight, Isaiah Thomas. But this Celtics team is completely different. Mm-hmm. Gordon Hayward's there now. Kyrie Irving is there now. It's a different-looking squad. Jay Crowder is gone. He's starting for the other team now. There's a lot to watch for. I know, was it Charles Barkley who said, I have to pretend I'm interested for the next 7 months,
right,
or I have to convince you to watch TNT for the next 7 months because we're inevitably going to get to the June matchup of the Cavs and Warriors. There's a lot of fun stuff to follow. Last year, I think we all thought we were getting Cavs-Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
I thought last regular season was a blast.
It was.
With what Russell was doing, what Kevin Durant was doing before he got hurt, what the Warriors started doing when Kevin Durant was out, and then what they were able to maintain when he got back. All good stories. The Cleveland, do they care or do they don't care,
right,
story?
Can they flip the switch?
Right. Washington starting out looking like turds. Scotty Brooks getting that group in line and them finishing, you know, where they wound up finishing. The ascension of various teams, the creative tanking on, you know, on behalf of the others. We haven't mentioned the Lakers yet. Lonzo Ball, rookie of the year. That's going to come up later. Everybody, I think, on Earth says yes. I say no. You yes or no? Don't you know? You don't have to tell me who it is if it's no yet, but you're gonna have to tell me later.
Okay, I'm leaning more towards yes.
I'm going no,
but I have a really strong candidate if it's not him.
Okay, it's a good tease.
Yeah,
it's a good tease. It's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. We'll make our NBA predictions, not just NBA, but Sacramento Kings as well.
Let me follow up with one on you, for you. Which team that's playing tonight, not Warriors, so Boston or Houston, has the better chance in your mind of getting there to represent the conference? So upsetting.
Boston.
Is it because Cleveland's not as good as the Warriors? Boston's better? The gap is closer?
I think it's Cleveland's not as good as the Warriors. I can't. One guy gets hurt in Cleveland, right? 23 gets hurt.
Oh, it's game changer.
Right.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant gets hurt. Probably okay.
Mm-hmm. They still might be a one seed.
Or Steph gets hurt.
They're okay.
You're probably okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, and once you get into Clay's and Draymond's, with all due respect to both of them, because they're mm-hmm. both very valuable, they're fine. You would have to lose both of them. You would have to lose Steph and KD to equal a LeBron.
Yeah. Draymond would really affect them if they lost him, honestly.
In the playoffs, more than any other place, it would affect them in the playoffs.
Agree.
But in where I think it would affect them the most is in a series against the Cavs.
Probably true.
So if more likely to not be there, I think it's Cleveland.
Yeah.
I can't envision, you know, we talked about during the offseason, during the very short offseason that the NBA had, would the Warriors, like, could they, what's the record, 73 now? You know, could they get to 70 wins? Could they get to 70 wins a second time? Well, they're not going to try to do it again. Like, they put all of that effort into it. They acknowledge that they're going for it, and then they lost the finals that year. So there's going to be that mark. Yeah, they won 73 games. Jordan pokes fun at it. Scotty pokes fun at it. Everyone who wants to poke fun at the Golden State Warriors and the way they play basketball will point, oh, well, it's great they got 73 wins, but they didn't win the title.
Right.
They could do it without trying. That's how much better I think that they are this year. But I just say, and maybe it's coming off of the Aaron Rodgers injury. Maybe it's coming off of, you know, everything that's going on in the NFL with Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt and Odell Beckham Jr. I hope we don't. But you just, 82 games is a long season. Durant missed 30 something last year.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're going to lose somebody big this year. And I'm certainly not hoping for that, not on any team, nothing like – I don't want that because I'm a basketball fan and I want to sit and watch and, you know, be glued to the TV night in and night out. But I just – and maybe – and again, this is probably just coming off the fact that we're losing marquee superstars in the NFL on a weekly basis. I'm looking at, like, we got an 82-game season. They're going to lose someone, right? We're going to lose someone for a long stretch of time.
I mean, numbers would suggest that, right?
And I hope that that's not true. But again, with Golden State, like, you'd have to lose multiple players for them to be a different team, I think. Maybe you lose a combination of Steph and Draymond.
Yeah.
Or you know what I mean? It takes you know, I said you'd have to lose Steph and KD to equate to losing LeBron. Maybe you have to lose Steph or KD and then Klay or Draymond to equal LeBron James. Maybe that's a more accurate way of putting it.
Yeah. What's scary to me about the Warriors, I think universally would agree, most people around, that they got better because they kept everybody that mattered, and their four stars are in their prime. I think what we forget about is how last year ended for them, not in the finals winning. I mean, the run.
Mm-hmm.
They were 15-1 and then 16-1.
Is that good?
Yeah.
No.
31-2 in their final 33 games. Playoffs include. So then it's like, well, who's the competition? All right, let's just go to the playoffs. I mean, you're playing teams that are trying to figure out. They went 16-1, 15-1. The one game they lost in the regular season to close things out was a Utah game, and I think a couple guys sat, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, this team can. That's what they can do. They can all, you know, just run off 10 straight, lose a game, win 8 more, lose a game, win 14, lose a game, win 17, lose 2. Uh-oh. I mean, that's the way they do it.
Panic time.
Now they've lost 2.
Panic button.
Kerr, hot seat. You know, they are just so loaded. And everybody's going to go for them, obviously, and see if they can beat them.
Yeah.
I mean, King's got them. They're going to get there. Right? I mean, there's nights like that just on the schedule. You're like.
Wouldn't that make us the default champions?
Not default, the real.
The real,
the
yeah.
The real champ, yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's how it works in wrestling.
I'm with it.
Cavs have already lost IT until January. Yeah, I understand that. By the way, Text Nation is fired up for basketball. Kings don't even play tonight,
yeah.
But they're fired up for the return.
Well, watch the Rockets, too.
Yeah,
scouting.
Yeah, yeah. We'll go. Everybody, let's meet at Golden 1 Center tomorrow.
Yep.
Go down. Tell Dave Yeager everything we observe.
Because he won't be watching. We'll do it for him.
He'll be very grateful for our input on the basketball team.
Yeah.
And we could tell Garrett, you know, well, we're going to have Garrett Temple. We'll meet Garrett Temple early tomorrow before the game.
Okay.
And then convey what we saw, how we think they should play against the Houston Rockets.
I'll just go with one without watching him. Guard the three. That's just one early tip, but I don't know.
Okay.
I have to wait and see. I should wait and watch them.
Let's watch film, Jason.
You're right.
All right.
True, that's
you're being,
fair.
You're not.
Yeah,
not,
I need to watch it first.
You're not being responsible.
Yeah, you're right.
Come on.
Got to do the work.
Do better.
Yeah.
44-11-40. Can we please applaud Kobe Altman, LeBron James for somehow digging the Cavs out of what looked like a grave in mid-June? I thought they were dead. That's a good point. Kobe Altman has done a hell of a job. Now, I'm still going to rip Dan Gilbert because it feels like
it's fun.
Yeah, it's easy to. It's all like ripping Dan Gilbert is like ripping Jerry Jones. It's like, hey, what are we going to do today on the show? I don't know. Well, let's just rip one of these dummies who seems to screw up everything that they touch. But Kobe Altman has done a fantastic job of coming. He's got 4 years. We know that.
Yeah.
that might be all he has, but he has 4 years, and he's going to make the most of it. He might only have one with LeBron, but they've done a pretty damn good job of salvaging what looked like a really – I mean, they don't make the moves that they have. Maybe Kyrie doesn't ask out. Who knows if Dwayne Wade gets there? I don't think they're done from now until February. I don't think Cleveland's done. I don't think this roster we see tonight, and I know Isaiah's not going to play tonight. I understand that. But I don't think this roster of players is the roster we're going to see come the playoffs.
I totally agree. And I think you have to watch. We've speculated, like the sexy one is watch someone like DeMarcus. If New Orleans struggles, final year, rental for 3 months, give him a try. But not only him. Watch the Kings. I mean, maybe if the Kings are in a spot, like they've got all these veterans. Could they use George Hill, a Garrett? I don't want Garrett. But you know what I mean?
They can't have Garrett. I know. Vetoed.
We'll ban that one.
Yeah, they can't have
Garrett. But they have to look at all those kind of teams. Phoenix, is there someone there that can help them? They talked about Bledsoe before. They just watch everything that they do, and I think they're always going to be on alert for – And it's so many different layers to try to win a championship to keep LeBron or to win a championship and have him walk or not win and everybody leave. I mean, I think they've got a lot of different avenues that they can go.
We have our bold predictions coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Kevin from Arkansas has his bold predictions now.
Oh, I like it.
You mentioned DeMarcus or Anthony Davis. He's got one of them winding up in Houston, the trade deadline.
Wow. Okay.
That's a game changer. I think one of those guys. I'm with Kevin in the sense. I think one of those guys, if not both of them, one of them for sure is going to be moved. Houston, Cleveland. I think shifts. It shifts the Golden State Warriors. Maybe it doesn't shift them from the favorite. It shifts them into. Now they got something to deal with.
They can't move Anthony Davis. They can't unless you're like if you're going to Houston.
You're 15 wins in February. You're telling me you can't move Anthony Davis.
No, I'd move DeMarcus.
Okay, let me ask you this then. Anthony Davis, they're clearly out of it in February. What makes Anthony Davis different than DeMarcus Cousins in New Orleans?
Contract.
Let me rephrase that. What makes Anthony Davis in New Orleans different than DeMarcus Cousins when he was in Sacramento?
Nothing, with the exception of, I think the Kings got to a point where they decided they weren't going to build with him anymore.
Where the Pelicans were in the playoffs one time under him?
2 years ago? Yeah, when they lost to the Warriors as an 8 seed.
Okay.
Yeah. I just think there's a debate on who's better, whatever. I mean, that's an opinion on, I personally think Davis is a little bit.
I agree.
But you've already got him signed. And I think if you're doing like the DeMarcus trade, I think you're getting less in return just because it's the final year of a deal. If you're trading Anthony Davis, you're getting a lot back, and I don't think you're sending him to Houston. I mean, you're wanting like James Harden back. They're not doing that.
Anthony Davis, I think, goes to Cleveland.
For what, though?
That pick.
I don't think that's enough. Brooklyn,
no, not that pick alone.
No, I know, but like
Tristan
what else?
Thompson, that pick, J.R. Smith.
See, I think you could do that with DeMarcus. Not with
you can't give up that pick for DeMarcus Cousins, though. I don't think you can trade DeMarcus to Cleveland with that pick involved, because DeMarcus, if he goes in February, he's good till June.
Right.
And then you're hoping you re-sign him. You already think DeMarcus is going to wind up in Los Angeles.
Yeah. I would say I think that just gives Cleveland the route to go for it. And then all the options of we're keeping everybody, LeBron, Isaiah, DeMarcus, or LeBron's gone, we're keeping Isaiah and DeMarcus. I mean, there's just a lot of offshoots there.
I got such a great Cleveland take, and by great, I mean you guys are going to roll your eyes and like look at your radio like I'm an idiot coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.
Okay.
Like, I've worked out the Cavs' future for the rest of LeBron James' career.
Okay.
And there's a spoiler.
Oh, that means LeBron James' career.
I got
career.
LeBron going nowhere.
Okay.
So I'm the only one in the entire world that has LeBron James staying in Cleveland.
I have a question. Question yes. from the media.
Yep. The media. Gosh, I hate you guys.
Without,
I'm going to talk to you the way Coach McCarthy talked to the media yesterday.
Without giving up the 1 o'clock tease, does this involve the banana boat?
Absolutely.
Oh, no.
Absolutely it involves the banana boat.
And the I'll be back at 1.
The real banana boat, not the fictitious banana boat.
Okay.
Carmelo Anthony was not on the banana boat. Gabrielle Union was. Carmelo Anthony was not.
Yeah. Okay.
Text line is, I love it. I'm so excited, man. Basketball is back tonight. Jason's Yankees are back in it. We'll talk about that. Also, great performance from Marcus Mariota last night. I kind of rolled my eyes like, oh, great. He's going to play. He's hobbled. He looked pretty damn good. And they got an important win. What does this mean for the Colts? What does this mean for Andrew Luck's future? We got the answer to everything. That's how this Tuesday is going. Hang with the Lowdown at Sports 1140. We got tickets to see Sac State football coming up on November 4th, where they take on the juggernaut that is Northern Colorado. You want information on that, go to khdk.com or call right now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get you set up with these pair of tickets. We'll also give another pair away in the 2 o'clock hour. All right, so Sac State tickets, you can call now, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get you all set up. It's going to be a fun day talking NBA. We've got some predictions for Kings' leading scorer. We actually, not only do we have predictions for Kings' leading scorers, we have, like, numbers. Got one here. Willie, 19.6.
For the season?
Points per game.
Wow. Okay. I would take the under.
Kings fans would be happy with that, yeah?
Yeah, of course they'd be happy with that. That seems high for me, for Willie, but I'd like it.
That seems high for a Sacramento King. Is that fair?
Yeah. For this year's group, I would say that is high.
Someone's going to have to take the reins, as they say, though.
I know in the past, I mean, DeMarcus well over 20. They've had Rudy over 20. They had Isaiah. Those three in one season all did over 20. But
how many games did the team win?
They didn't win enough. Oh. But usually, you know, usually
that's so frustrating.
I know.
We had 320 scores, 320 in per game season. Scores. There's like a very small number of teams that have had that.
Oh, I want to say even that season, and I'm going to forget, but I want to say, Damien, there was like 15 in the league, and they had three of them, something like that, or 18 in the league. And
goodness gracious.
Man. But this year will be different in that realm. They don't have the dominating score on the roster.
Yeah. It's going to vary. You're right. And I tried to figure so hard, like, who could it be? And I was like, you know what? It could be Willie. Like, I absolutely think, oh, you know what? Scal is so efficient. He's going to make the most of this. Oh, but buddy, he's a year. Like, I keep talking myself out of the answer that I thought I had to that question. 50-some-odd times this year that call has been played, and 50-some-odd times Jason has stood up out of his chair.
Out of respect. I don't know for who.
You got to respect the judge.
Yeah, okay.
You could be held in contempt.
Yeah, that's right.
Need to get Bailiff Bird in here to tell us how proper etiquette there. Yeah. Have Bailiff Birdie come get you out of here.
Yeah.
So your boys did it. The hottest take we had yesterday is the Yankees are going to have to score some runs if they want to win a game.
I didn't think they need eight.
Well, they should have spread it out a little bit. I'm a little worried about their ability to score tonight. But, hey, they got to win.
Yep, that was important just to get back in it, just to feel good. Sabathia, I mean, first playoff win in 5 years, pitched six innings, wasn't amazing but was good. The first three runs, I mean, man, infield, full swing bunt, then a bloop, and then a weird home run by Frazier, and then that just kind of got things going.
Did you see the slow motion replay of that?
I don't even know how to describe the swing.
First of all, both of the home runs were weird because Aaron Judge's pitch was like high and inside, and he had alligator arms.
Yeah. He hit at the height of the wall, basically.
And he's so freaking strong that he had a terrible swing, hit a terrible part of the bat, and still hit it out.
Yeah.
The other one, your boy, his eyes, I think, were closed. He wasn't even looking. It was like a croquet swing almost.
He was just trying to punch it to right, and it got into the wind, and they had some wind going out. I can't believe that went out. It was weird. That was a weird home run. They got an extra run in there and then just kind of cruised yesterday. So it was a game you didn't expect. It's all how you look at things, too, because the first two games, they only scored one run, but they only held Houston to two. If they end up losing the series, they may look back at those first two and go, wait, if you would have told me you would have held the Astros to two runs in each of the first, well, really five runs total through three games, you might be up 2-1 or 3-0. Instead, they've only got the one win right now. But today's kind of a critical day to get it back to just basically anybody's series or Houston in pretty good control.
We're getting a lot of response to those Aaron Judge home run calls.
They love them, don't they?
No.
They love them.
Nope. Yeah. Nope, none of them. And the way he says it to us.
That's it.
All rise.
Yeah.
What is happening right now?
I don't know.
You can't tie the series until you win one when you're down 2-0. So
true.
just simple math.
And Judge hasn't been hitting well, but he had two good defensive plays too. The catch on the wall was awesome. He also had a diving catch coming in. Good win. Good. It was fun. It was good energy. That's what I would say about Yankee Stadium, and that's the player. I think Girardi said it after the game. He said we're built for this ballpark, and I don't know, the vibe and the energy that they've got going really from first pitch is pretty great at that point.
There were some pretty strong opinions on our text thread yesterday regarding Yankees ballpark.
That text thread. Yes,
there were some people who were not thrilled about the size of Yankees stadium. Yeah. Now perhaps it's just
size
a bit.
Well,
depends on who you ask.
Yeah, okay.
You mentioned CC Sabathia. Here's Joe Girardi on CC's performance. CC put a little bit of that weight back on.
Yeah,
I think we can have a legitimate conversation now, like R&B fans do with Luther.
Mm-hmm.
You got Big Luther. You got big, chunky young Luther, and then you got older Luther who's skinnier. Some people don't like young, skinny Luther, older, skinny Luther.
Uh-huh.
Are we having this conversation? Big CC is better than skinny CC?
It could be.
I think he's
kind of found another groove here late in his career. I mean, it's the final year of his deal, and he's the guy that—
37?
Yeah, and I would say for the most part, I mean, he's got a lot of wins as a Yankee, but I don't know that he's got a lot of memorable ones. And so Yankee fans, based on contract, based on, the years that he was there— But to have the night he had last night, to have the night he had in the last series, to hear the fans chant his name, I mean, that's it's kind of a cool full circle moment for him.
It sure felt like CC was done.
Yeah, was it? I can't remember. I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs in a couple of years, but the one where they ruled him out because of drinking issues and other things. I'm like, wow,
was he in rehab?
Yeah, and it was weird that I thought, why does he have to? He doesn't have to do it now, but it's like, well, you know what? He's worrying more about him. Not in a selfish way. I got to get my life right. And I'm like, well, good for him. And I think even that was, he was very vulnerable. He was honest. And I think maybe people appreciated that.
Can't you be an alcoholic for a couple more days? You don't got to go do it
Hang
now.
Hang on. We got playoffs.
Hey, by the way, before he went to rehab, he wasn't pitching all that well. So it wouldn't have mattered. Yeah, it absolutely wouldn't have mattered if he had not gone to rehab or not, because it just, it felt like it was falling off the rails for CeCe. Yeah. Like, it just was. But again, he's 37 now. It looked like an older pitcher.
Yeah.
Coming to an end.
Yeah.
Here's CeCe last night. So, there's your pitcher.
Yeah.
Next game tonight. Two games tonight, right?
Or today. It's in a couple hours, yeah.
So we got
and then Dodgers-Cubs. Cubs kind of need to do the same thing. Just get back in it. Just get a win and then see where they are from there.
Again, it's remember, we get so caught up in the moment. The Cubs and the whoever the Yankees beat last night, the Astros, they did what they were supposed to do. They won their games at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or not the Cubs, the Dodgers. They won their games at home. We get so caught up, oh, my gosh, they're down 2-0. Well, the series is structured 2-1. There's a reason. There's a reason it's called home field advantage.
Sure.
You get to start the series at home.
Yeah.
Now the series shifts. The Yankees did what they were supposed to do. Now it's the Cubs' turn.
Yeah, and so if they do that for the Cubs,
Yankees got one more that they have to win.
Absolutely, because that's the swing where it's like if it's 2-2, it's really anybody's series. 3-1, mm-hmm. Sure, the Yankees could still come back. It's just
we Astros haven't seen that. When was the last time we saw someone come back from a 3-1?
I can't even recall in any sport.
No.
Yeah, it never happens.
Never. Yeah. It's just so rare these days.
Exactly.
So rare. So that takes care of the baseball portion of this. And as Jason mentioned,
all rise.
Yep. The Yankees and Astros. First pitch here in just a little bit. There was football last night. Not bad football either. Really good football from Marcus Mariota. We'll touch on that, plus some news coming out of the NFL meetings. We got all that coming up here on Sports 1140. It was football last night. It's going to be hard to juggle all. This is going to be a very busy couple of weeks here with baseball playoffs in full effect. Hockey fans, there's a hockey game tonight here on Sports 1140. Your Sharks of San Jose. I mean, there's so much happening right now. Of course, the NBA kicks off tonight with the Cavs, Celtics, and then the Warriors and Rockets. And that doubleheader, the Warriors will get their rings. And then, of course, tomorrow at the Golden 1 Center, the Rockets make that two-hour drive down here to the Golden 1 Center because, you know, they fixed the schedule so there aren't as many back-to-backs. Except for that one that you opened the season with.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally logical there. Totally logical. Marcus Mariota was great last night. Titans get a win, beat the Colts 36-22. That was it was big for whoever won because that division stinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard conversations today. Well, why would you bring Andrew Luck back now at this point? They lost to the Titans. I'd give them one more week. They got the Jaguars. You beat the Jaguars. You're still riding
absolutely
in there.
Absolutely.
Only one team from this division is getting in. I'm pretty comfortable in saying that. You beat the Jaguars. You're still right there in the conversation. And I think, I said this a couple of weeks ago, week 8, Cincinnati Bengals, you could be looking at Andrew Luck at that time. If they beat the Jaguars, why not bring Andrew Luck back in week 8? If he's ready, why not bring him back in week 8 and make a run at the division? If you lose to the Jaguars, I'm okay with thinking about not playing Andrew Luck this year unless you feel like he's enough of a difference, unless you know you feel like he can perform better now coming back from injury than Jacoby Brissett is doing for you.
It's a flawed division. Every team there has one. Major flaws, I would say. But that's the only team that can say – well, with the exception of Houston, but they know they're not getting Watt back. But whether we say Watt's their best player or not, but he's kind of the one we think of most with Houston. But Luck's the best player. So they're the only one that can say they can add their best player, and what kind of difference would they make? They've won a few more games than I thought they would without him because we all thought they were going to be really bad, and the way they started, it was looking terrible. But they've kind of hung around, and they were winning a lot of the game yesterday. I actually thought they might win that game. Tennessee finished better, but I would still bring up back Luck. Kind of no matter almost how far it goes. I mean, not week 15,
sure.
But if it's week 9, 10, yeah. I mean, they're still – you finish really strong, you could still sneak in and win that division.
Can I throw something out? I just took a glance at the text line. I think some people missed our sarcasm in the 3-1 deficit.
Oh, yeah?
It because we're getting
– it has happened?
It's
a lot?
Recently?
Yeah, like a lot.
I thought our tone was clear.
I thought so.
I guess it's –
well, they're trying to give us the text line can be the fact police sometimes, and that's good.
And that's good. No, we need it because
we'll mess up. We do
daily.
Yeah.
So I forgot who the Yankees were playing 5 minutes ago after talking about
them.
You
don't need to think about the other team.
I just need to think about the judge.
That's right.
And those calls.
Yeah.
mention Marcus Mariota again. In a week, we're going to have winners and losers at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. There were a lot of losers at the quarterback position this week. Marcus Mariota wasn't one of them. Coming back from a hamstring injury or a hamstring issue or whatever is going on with him, 300 plus yards. Not very many quarterbacks had 300 plus yards this week. Hell, not very many quarterbacks had over 200 yards this week. But Marcus Mariota coming back from that injury looked really, really good.
Yeah, and to do all that, you could tell he wasn't 100% and running. And so, like, there was a scramble that he had where he got out of the pocket to avoid a sack, and he probably would have normally run for 10 to 15 yards, got out, and had somebody chasing him that was about 8 yards away, and he slid.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so far away, and you just went, he got back to the line of scrimmage, no
and
game.
And he got hit. I know exactly what your play you're talking about. I thought there should have been a flag on that play.
Yeah, but he was,
whatever.
You know, he knew not to push it too much. They wanted to play him. He got through it. I think they have another game and then a bye, and then that team, that's the team that I thought would win that division. Houston's done a nice job with Deshaun Watson. Then Jacksonville's defense has been better for the most part, and Leonard Fournette, even though the injury last game. So, yeah, there's still some flawed teams there, though.
Derrick Henry was spectacular last night. 131 yards on the ground. I mean, you just don't know which one of those guys is going to get you each week, whether it's DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry. Someone is going to get you week after week. And they shouldn't be 3-3. I feel like they shouldn't be 3-3. I feel like they're better than that.
I do, too.
This is a weird division, and that win last night they should take control of. Mm-hmm. That win last night should catapult them into taking control of this division. Now, Jacksonville's another team where their defense has been good enough.
Yeah.
In fact, their defense has been better than good enough. But you still have Blake Bortles as your quarterback. You don't have that issue in Tennessee. You have a legitimate superstar caliber quarterback in Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, Jacksonville, yeah, they have the worst quarterback in the division, right? Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Even Brissett?
Yeah, I think Brissett is better than Blake Bortles.
I agree.
Or, yeah.
Absolutely. And Luck certainly
and
is.
And probably by far.
Yeah.
Probably by
and
far.
And so that's kind of a testament to where they are.
Andrew Luck might not be the best quarterback in the division anymore.
You're that high on
Watson? Oh, my God. Come
Watson?
On, man. How can you not be?
Yeah.
Too
I
soon?
Like him. No, I mean, I like him, but I like Mariota, too. And then certainly Andrew Luck.
Yeah. I mean, this, all guys healthy, one outlier. This isn't a bad quarterback division.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really good one.
Yeah.
But Blake Bortles brings the average far down. We mentioned yesterday owners' meetings are taking place in New York. Apparently there's two different meetings. A lot of talk has been about the one taking place with the players. There were a number of players in New York meeting with a handful of owners as well. Jerry Jones wasn't at the one with the players, which I find both interesting and cowardly, because that was the conversation in which players were asking, look, like we've been ready to move on from kneeling for the anthem. We've been ready to move on from this for a while.
Right.
But everybody took a different stance after Donald Trump had something to say and call us names and do all of that. And everybody wanted to rally for the league and do all that. We've been prepared to move on from this. Late last night, at least I assume it was late last night because I saw it first thing this morning, and you know how early I get up, a letter signed by both Doug Baldwin and Roger Goodell was sent out about reform in sentencing reform and what we had that concert with Common and that big schools not prisons thing.
Sure.
Same bill, same thing. And that felt like if you had listened to Doug Baldwin talk and you had listened to Michael Bennett talk, and if you can bring yourself to go back 18 months to Colin Kaepernick, this was a huge part of the conversation. That letter being sent with Roger Goodell's signature on it is a huge win for the players. And if this is a trade-off, you sign that letter for us, we'll stop kneeling or whatever, you know, form of protest that bothers you for the national anthem. If that's the trade-off, that's a huge win. That's a huge win for everybody. That's a win for the NFL because they can stop thinking about this, worrying about this, defending it, or whatever they feel like they have to do. Jerry Jones can stop talking about it. And there can stop no more speculation as to what's going on. And then the players have got their next step mm-hmm. of action. And what was really great about the letter is the letter notes all of the things that have been going on in San Francisco with the police force, in Seattle, in Dallas, in the different teams and organizations that have worked so closely with their police forces in their home communities.
Yeah.
I think it's a win.
I sure hope so. I mean, that's more of what the kind of progress that we're hoping for, right?
And that's what that's kind of what we were waiting for,
yeah.
Right? It's like, okay, well, what's next?
Right.
Like, okay.
Everybody's kind of stated their stances, but where's the action? Where are the action elements of this?
And what I love even more about this, and we've said this from, you know, day one, is the message was lost.
Oh, yeah.
After the Donald Trump thing, the message was completely lost. Well, this brings the message back to where it was supposed to be all along.
Yeah.
As I noted, I want to make sure we name this right. Doug Baldwin of the Seattle Seahawks, Roger Goodell, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, sent a letter last night to members of the Senate Judiciary Committee in support of the Sentencing Reform and Corrections Act of 2017. Now, without getting into great, great detail on this, you heard the term, and you've heard the term from Doug Baldwin and Michael Bennett and Colin Kaepernick, the term systematic racism. If you don't understand what systematic racism is, take a few minutes. Don't look at it as racism. Don't look at it as black and white. Pay more attention to the systematic part. And them going in getting into this Reform Act is valuable to putting an end to that. Again, look past the black and white part and look at the systematic part. Look past the racism part and look at the systematic part. I think you'll have a completely different understanding of what these guys have been talking about for the last 14 months.
Yeah.
This was, I wish, the only thing I wish is that Cap could have been at this meeting.
Right.
And I wish he would have been the guy at the forefront with Doug Baldwin when this letter was sent out, because this is big for owners, and this is big for the NFL, and it's big for all of these players. What happens today at the second meeting, we'll see.
Yeah, I think in the history of our country, when there are things that have been put into law, or in this case systematically can be done, that's where there have been changes. You can't always change how people feel and their opinions, but when things are implemented that way is when it seems to have had a bigger impact.
One small thought. Jay Ross and I will take a look at the entire NFC. We will do that as hour number two of the Lowdown kicks off next.